Hey, Darren Chef here. I'm going to talk a little bit about Elvis Presley. Hey, Elvis, the king. And boy, wasn't he the king? You know, it's funny, as I get older, I'm, you know, in my, what am I, 56 now. And the older I get, the more it fascinates me that I was that close to Elvis Presley, that I grew up with a foot in the door as close as it was to Elvis Presley. When you're a kid and your dad plays bass for Elvis Presley, like my dad did, Jerry Chef, you know, you kind of go along like, wow, I'm going to go see dad at work today. Because when you're a 10-year-old kid, Elvis Presley was as big as God, man. He really was. He was something else. But to a 10-year-old, my dad was the God. I'm going to see my dad play, you know. So when I went to work with my dad at the Hilton to watch him play a show with Elvis, I was really there for my dad. I wanted to see my dad play. Now, I will tell you. Okay, so Jerry, just to backtrack just a second, he pretty much played with the TCB band. If you don't know what the TCB band is or what TCB stands for, that's taking care of business, ladies and gentlemen. Taking care of business. That was a bad Elvis impersonation, but anyway, taking care of business, ladies and gentlemen. And that's what the TCB band stood for. Some of you have the TCB band necklaces out there. Those are very cool. Elvis gave those to the band, crew, and friends. So those are floating around out there somewhere. But at any rate, so back to the gig. So I was probably about like 10 years old. Maybe Jason was probably 11. So 10 and 11. And somewhere right around there. So you were probably talking 73, 74. And my dad gets us. We go out to Vegas and we go to the Hilton Inn. And so back in the 70s, when Elvis was doing those Hilton gigs, he would do two. So there would be the first show, the second show. So my dad basically said, hey, I'm going to take you boys to the show, but I'm going to take you individually. So Darren's going to go to the first show and Jason, you'll go to the second show. So we're okay with that. So I wish I would have been there with Jason, though, to be honest with you. That would have been a hoot, man, having him right next to me. But anyway, so I went to the first show, and there I was sitting up in the orchestra. Our band stand, I can't remember exactly. I just know I was kind of up while I was kind of looking out. And I was kind of up a little bit high, and I was with the percussion player. My dad put me with a percussion player. And the percussion player, you know, was trying to just be cool. He was talking and just trying to make me feel comfortable as a little 10-year-old kid sitting there. And next thing you know, man, the lights go down and here comes Space Oddity. Oh, doom, 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 doom. Man, I could feel the room rumbling. It was ridiculous, man. And here was this 10-year-old kid just sitting there watching all these lights start to flicker and flash. And then, you know, here comes the horns. Boom, doom, 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 doom. So all that's starting to go on, man. All the doom, 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 doom. You know, it's picking up. And everything just wild and crazy, man. All of a sudden, here comes Ronnie Tutt, man. Doo, 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 you know, doing his little opening lick. And next, you know, the band's just flying, man. And I'm up there, and the percussion player is, like, looking at me. He's like, hey, play something. And he's yelling at me, play something, play something. And he's like, here. He hands me the tambourine, and I kind of just like was a deer in the headlights. So he just goes, how about these? And you know, he put my hands on the congas, and next thing you know, man, there I was playing those congas. It was crazy, you know, and who knows what I was playing, you know, but I was just jamming along with him. So, you know, but once again, here I was up on that stage jamming to Space Oddity, or Oddity, what is it? Yeah, Oddity. And here I was, man, a little kid up there. Boom, boom, boom. There, you know, next thing you know, this whole show's starting off. It's going crazy. It's going bananas. And I'm just sitting there just playing along with this whole thing. So my point is that back then I was just a little kid. Looking back now, I'm thinking, God, how lucky was I that I got to sit up on stage and experience that and play, you know? I was talking to my brother Jason about this. He goes, who gets to put on their resume that they played with Elvis Presley? And I thought, wow, you're not kidding, man. And a live gig nonetheless, too. And so, because I was mentioning him, I go, look at your, we were talking about his, I was talking about his track record with Chicago and all the records and things that he's done. And he goes, yeah, man. He goes, I'm grateful. It's pretty impressive. It's exciting. And it's definitely a dream come true. But he goes, who gets to put that they played with Elvis Presley on their resume? You do. I do. We started laughing because I'm thinking, man, my brother's like, Chicago, man. He's like, dude, man, 30-something years, you know, playing and singing all those great songs. And he goes, he's impressed with his Elvis gig. And so am I. So anyway, it's kind of funny after all these years, you know, thinking back that how fortunate and lucky we were to be that close to that whole scene, be part of that. And, you know, growing up with all that stuff, because we lived in Los Angeles growing up, San Diego and L.A., we weren't around the band a whole lot. That's what I love about living out in Nashville. I'm close to everybody now, Ronnie Tutt, Glenn D. Harden, James Burton, and all these guys, but I need to see them for sure, but even though I live in the same town. But at any rate, you know, growing up, man, and over the years of going to gigs and seeing these guys, man, it's always been like a family thing. It's really weird with that band. It's always felt like a family, all those band members. I can only imagine if Elvis was alive to this day, what a hoot that would be if these guys were doing some gigs together. What an amazing thing that would be. And then, you know, I remember too, you know, my, I know exactly where I was when Elvis died. I was at a racquetball court in San Diego and I was playing indoor racquetball. And I remember coming out of the game and everybody had this just horrible look on their face. And it was really weird and eerie and quiet and people were crying. And I was like, I couldn't figure out what was going on. I knew something crazy had happened. But I was probably about 13 or something at the time. And this lady looks at me and she goes, Elvis Presley died. And I'm in San Diego now, okay? I'm not in Los Angeles at this point. I was in San Diego. And I'm sitting there thinking, wow. I mean, I was in shock like everybody else was. But listen, I had this big connection. My dad, you know, not only, you know, had his big ties with Elvis there, but my dad's pretty much gig was over. That wasn't obviously the painful part of that message. Obviously the loss of life of Elvis himself was, you know, the big loss. My dad's job is just nothing, you know, compared to that. But as a kid, I kind of thought about that. I'm like, wow, you know, and lo and behold, wow, man, you know, a year later, he's on the road with Bob Dylan, so kind of crazy, you know, how that stuff works out, but anyway, so, but yeah, back to Elvis, you know, as the older I get, the more I watch these videos, and I listen to music, and I just think, man, that dude, I don't think there's anybody on the planet that carries the legacy of Elvis Presley. They just don't. I mean, we've had some great people pass away, you know, Frank Sinatra, Michael Jackson. You know, I know that's controversial right now and everything. I'm not talking about personalities or personal issues. I'm just talking about, like, music legacy. And these guys, man, are incredible. They paved the way, the Chuck Berrys of the world. And you know what? Even as big as Michael Jackson was, Frank Sinatra, and people like that, you don't hear about them. It's so sad. But they just kind of faded away into the past. But Elvis Presley, oh my gosh. I mean, it doesn't matter. It just keeps going on. As a matter of fact, it gets bigger. And everybody knows who he is, even little kids. Man, you know, it's crazy. But that's the legacy that Elvis left. And it's quite remarkable. One of my thoughts is that kind of bothers me is about losing Elvis was just Lisa Marie's loss of a father. That just kind of hurts me a little bit. I just think about her not having her dad. He looked like he was a really funny guy, man. Well, I knew that he was because I know all the stories and, you know, and been around enough to know. But he was a super funny, loving, generous guy, man. And I just think what he would have been like as a dad for that sweet little girl, for Lisa Marie. And, anyway, that is what it is, too. So that's kind of like my little story of how I got my first concert. And then I went to another concert, another Elvis concert outside of the Hilton, which was at the San Diego Sports Arena. And there I was with my brother Jason and my grandmother. And I think my brother Todd was there, if I remember correctly. We all went to see that concert. And that was something else because that was in that huge sports arena that I grew up in, right around the corner from our house, pretty much. And that was fun. We also saw Dylan there too. That was pretty remarkable. So getting up there and watching Bob Dylan. Anyway, that's my Elvis story. Hope you enjoyed it. Oh, I'll leave you with this. So my brother Jason, he was out here in Nashville a couple years ago. And we're just cruising around. We're getting ready to have lunch or something. And we're running around. And he gets a phone call from some guy. And some guy, I hear him on the phone. He's like, sure, sure. Yeah, I went in a couple hours. So he gets off the phone. He goes, man, this guy just calls me up and is asking me if I want to sing some background vocals on a Engelbert Humperdinck song. And he said, man, he goes, so I said, yeah. So I go, when is it? He goes, in a couple hours. So we just kind of get up right there and we drive over to this really cool studio in Nashville. We walk in and there's a bunch of Elvis pictures on the wall in the studio, some art and stuff like that. So we go walking in there and we're walking into Engelbert Humperdinck, right? We're walking into this guy's session. And here's the son-in-law who's kind of producing the song, and Engelbert's daughter, who this guy is married to. And we're walking in there pumped up. We're going, Jason's going, God, I get to sing on Engelbert's song, man. And I'm like going, yeah, no kidding, man. So we're like flipping out, walking in there. And then somebody says, well, do you know this? Once we get in there, somebody says to the owner and everybody in the studio, do you know these guys' dad? Do you know their dad, Jerry Sheff? And the guy's like, Jerry Sheff, that bass player, Elvis? I mean, they lit up, man. And they're like, yeah. They're going, your dad's Jerry Sheff? And Jason goes, yeah, and his too. And he points over at me. And they're going, oh, my God, they're asking all the stories. Did you guys ever meet him? Did you see him? And, I mean, all of a sudden we went from, here's this huge, larger-than-life, legendary Engelbert guy that me and Jason are walking into is pumped up and excited to just be in that environment, to be part of that. Not me particularly, but Jason was going to. And they start grilling us on the Elvis stuff. They are looking at us like we are royalty. And I mean, they're not even talking about Chicago, and that's great legacy as well, but they're looking at us like, oh my God, you guys were that close to Elvis. It's weird. They're like bowing down pretty much. And I don't mean that arrogantly, but that's the power and weight that Elvis Presley has. It's ridiculous, right? So here we are all these years later, 2016, whatever it was, and here's these guys. Just anybody wants a story of Elvis. So Jason tells the same story I just got through telling you about going to the Hilton and, you know, getting up on stage and playing. And Jason's is kind of funny because he said that, you know, he got up there and was very uncomfortable with those percussion instruments. He was afraid that Elvis was going to turn around somewhere and go, hey, who the hell's effing around over there, you know? And so my brother does a much better impersonation than I do on that one. But, and it's funny to think that Jason was nervous about it because he was never nervous playing music, ever. Never. Didn't matter who it was with, what it was for, never. And wasn't even nervous going to the Chicago auditions. And, but, man, to hear him say that he was nervous up there playing that tambourine or whatever instrument he was playing on his show, kind of cracks me up to think that he was actually nervous and I wasn't, because it's usually the other way around. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed that story, and there are many more to come. Alrighty.